Speaking of radio, the Jack Benny program.
Jack was a creative mind. He created a lot of the basic ideas, just the thought, and turned it over to the writers for development.
Announcer Don Wilson.
And, of course, Jack always engaged the greatest writers in the business, in my opinion. And, well, the show just took off from that basic, rather simple formula. Jack was a great blue pencil man. He could tell you from here to doomsday whether or not it was a gag that belonged on the show, that fit the character it was given to, or didn't fit the character. He knew what it was all about.
Tonight, for our feature attraction, we're going to do the story of Don Wilson's life.
Oh, please, Jack. Really, this is embarrassing.
Now, don't you be so modest, Don. You deserve it.
Yeah, I'll say. After all, you took the show when it was down, and you put it right...
It wasn't
where...
down! And anyway, Dennis, that was 20 years ago, and you were only 8 at the time. So how would you know?
I had a radio in my incubator.
yeah, incubator. Now, come on, let's get on with it. Ladies and gentlemen, in honor of Don Wilson's 20th year on my program, we're going to present a play based on his life. The Don Wilson Story, or Life Can Be Plentiful. Curtain. Music.
Our story opens in Denver, Colorado, many years ago. The stork has just delivered a precious bundle to the home of Mr. and Mrs. Donald C. Wilson, Sr. The mother happily whispers to the father,
"Darling, it's a boy."
And the proud father said,
"Yes, aren't we lucky? The stork brought us a boy."
And the stork said,
"Oh, my aching back."
Parents leaned over the crib looking at their newborn son. The baby said, "3 days later, he said,
"I want a roast beef sandwich."
He was developing slowly. During that first week, 3 nurses quit because they just couldn't stand giving him his bottle. It was exasperating. The gravy would slip through, but the mashed potatoes were murder. But Donald was a good boy, although his parents did have trouble getting him to sleep.
Now, come on, baby. Come on. It's time for Betty Bar. Now, baby, stop that. Baby, stop. Baby, put me down.
Better let me have him, dear.
Okay.
Now, Donald, close your little eyes and Mommy will sing you to sleep. Rock-a-bye, baby, in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. If the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. Down will come Donald, Denver and all. Look, dear, he's asleep.
The years passed quickly and Don entered college. And since his burning ambition was to become a radio announcer, he majored in elocution.
How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
And the cow and Don... Don was a brilliant student, and he graduated from college, magna cum laude. But the night that he was packing to leave the campus, he got an emergency call. His father had met with an accident. Don dropped everything and rushed to the hospital.
You may go in and see him now, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, nurse.
Oh, and don't stay too long. It was quite an accident, and, well, your father's quite old now.
Yes, I keep forgetting. You know, I haven't seen him for years. Dad. Dad.
Howdy, Blubber.
Gosh, Dad, I just can't get over it.
What's that, son?
Well, I know it's been a long time since I've seen you, but I'd hardly recognize you. How come you look so different?
Because Bob Crosby can't play the part of an old man.
Don had made up his mind to be a radio announcer. Although Don didn't know it at the time, our paths were about to cross. I was doing a show then for the Universal Corset Company. And one day my sponsor called, so I went straight to his office.
Gee, my sponsor really has a nice building here. He certainly believes in advertising. Look at that big neon sign. The Universal Corset Company. And look at their slogan. Gather unto you what is yours. Well, I better go in. I beg your pardon, sir, but would you tell Mr. Willoughby that Jack Benny's here to see him?
Well, Mr. Willoughby's expecting you, Mr. Benny. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
Mr. Willoughby, please.
Oh, you're Mr. Benny. Mr. Willoughby's expecting you. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
I'm here to see Mr. Willoughby.
Oh, you're Jack Benny.
Yes.
Mr. Willoughby's expecting you. Go right through that door.
Thank you.
Yes?
Miss, I'm Jack Benny. Mr. Willoughby is expecting me.
Who's Mr. Willoughby?
Look, miss, isn't this the Universal Corset Company?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Willoughby is the president.
Oh, you mean Poopsie.
Poopsie?
Yes. Go right through that door.
Oh, well, all right. Mr. Willoughby?
Yes, surprise.
Mr. Willoughby, I'm Jack Benny.
Yeah, I know, I know. Come right in.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Willoughby, what is it you wanted to see me about?
Well, I hate to bother an artist of your stature with trifles, but a strange thing has happened since you've been broadcasting for us.
What's that?
We've been losing money. We've been selling corsets for 15 years, and this is the first time the company is feeling the pinch.
Mr. Willoughby, just what is your complaint about my program?
I can't stand the way you read our commercials. I want you to hire an announcer.
So I started auditioning announcers. I tried voices. Voices, all kinds of voices. Deep ones, high ones, soft ones, loud ones.
All right, Bud, you're next. Read this. The Universal Corset Company presents Jack Benny. Now, the show opens, and you say...
No!
That's all, folks.
I auditioned over 500 people, but I wasn't getting any place. It was then that I decided to try my luck at the famous Acme Elocution School.
A with a U is A-U-A-U-D.
with a U is D-U-D-U. U-D-U-D-U-A-U-A-G with a U is G-U-G-U. E with a U is E-U-E-U. A-U-E-U-G-U-D-U.
Very good, students. Very good. Now, what did you think of that, Mr. Benny?
P with a U is P-U.
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. You see, I'm a big comedian, and I couldn't resist the opportunity. But I really am looking for a radio announcer.
Well, you've come to the right place. Now, let's see. In this class, I have little Harry Von Zell, Billy Goodwin, Jimmy Wallington, and that fat one over there is Donald Wilson.
Donald Wilson. Gee, I like that name, and he looks like he might be just right for my program.
Well, certainly, Mr. Benny. I'll call him over. Oh, Donald. Donald, this is Jack Benny.
How do you do?
How with an H and an O and a U and an O and a D is a how do you do?
Now, Mr. Wilson, I'm considering you as an announcer for my program. And if you take the job, I hope everything turns out fine.
Thank you.
Now, about your salary, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I'm so anxious to get into radio. I'll work for my 3 meals a day.
Well, I wasn't planning to go that high. Look, Mr. Wilson, money isn't everything, and you said yourself that you were anxious to get into radio.
I know, but if I'm not going to make a halfway decent salary, why should I go on a show that's down?
It's not down! How did that get in the script?
It's in there because it happens to be true.
It is not!
It is true!
It is not!
Jack, you're ruining the whole scene.
I don't care. My show was never down.
It was true.
You stay out of it.
Don't pick on him, Green Eyes.
What?
That doesn't.
Jack, let's get back to my story, the story of my life.
I don't care about your life. I'm sick of it. I'm going home. Goodbye.
Jack!
G with an O, with an O, with a D, with a B, D, bye. Goodbye. Don't try and be nice to people.
Where did the sportsmen come from? Were they a quartet before they... Were they formed for this, or were they singing before?
No, they were going quartet before Jack hired them, mm-hmm. and very successfully mm-hmm. too, and made a great reputation for themselves. And it was all built out of a hum. Jack would ask them a question, and in harmony, they would hum, and that was the thing that started their career on the Benny Show.
And they'd start whatever song was popular, and they'd do the normal lyric, and then.
That's
They'd
right.
come back with
special lyrics.
Special lyrics for Lucky Strike cigarettes.
That's right.
Hey, Jack, look out the window. Here comes Don Wilson with that quartet.
Oh, yes. I wonder what they want now. Come in!
Hello, Jack. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Don. Don.
Say, Jack, look who I brought with me.
I know. Hello, fellas. I mean, Don, I'm glad you brought the quartet over. I want to talk to you about them.
What's wrong?
I'm not going to keep paying $500 a week just to hear them go, during a commercial.
Well, Jack, at the end of our show last week, when you kicked me in the stomach, I suspected you weren't quite satisfied.
You bet I wasn't satisfied. I'm not going to pay $500 for a quartet for one note. And another...
Now, Jack, calm down. I've got it all fixed up now. That's why I brought the boys over. Now, here's the way we're going to do our commercial today.
Look, Don, I don't want these
Just
fellas...
listen to this, Jack. Listen to it. I'm sure you'll like
yes,
it.
Yes, Jack, give them a chance.
All right.
Now, here's the way we'll do it. Get set, boys. Here we go. L-S-M-F-T. L-S-M-F-T. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
L-S-L-S-M-F-T. La-la-la-la-la. Hee-hee-hee. L-S-L-S-L-S-T. La-la-la-la-la.
For real deep down smoking enjoyment, it's
LSLSMFT. La 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 la. Hee hee hee. LSLSMFT. La 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 la. Aye aye aye.
Wait a minute.
LSLSMFT.
Wait a minute.
Hee hee.
Wait a minute.
say. I mean, what kind of a commercial do you call that? What's the matter with you guys?
He didn't have all that many gag lines.
No, Jack has often said, I'm the biggest straight man in the business. And there was many a time when... Well, Jack had a basic philosophy, if I may divert here for a moment, that, as I analyze it. And that is, Jack, it was obvious that this was his philosophy. The bigger he could make the supporting people that worked with him on the show, the bigger it made the Jack Benny show, and the bigger it made Jack Benny. Now, this is a leaf that I don't think any other comedian ever took out of Jack's book, and it was so sound and successful that I'm surprised somebody else didn't pick it up, too. But that was Jack. That was the generosity and the thoughtfulness and the great showmanship that was reflected in Jack's operation in all the years he was on the air.
When you were in New York doing sports, Jack Benny had been... starting on radio, his first bit with radio was with Ed Sullivan, and a few months after that, he got his own show for Canada Dry, and then
That's
was on
right.
the air for, for.
Then the second year, he was signed by Chevrolet. And the contract was terminated at the end of 26 weeks. Now, so the story goes, and I think it's an awfully good story, but I won't vouch for its veracity, that the advertising manager of the Chevrolet division of General Motors concluded that their product was so high class that they should be represented on the air by a symphony and by not by a comedian. So Jack's contract was terminated at the end of 26 weeks. And it was at that point in the spring of 1934 that he held an audition for an announcer to... carry on with him for the rest of that season of 13 weeks. And I just got awfully lucky and got the job. I was thrown into a general audition with all the other staff boys and the freelance men around town. And the only answer I can give, how did it happen? Nothing really dramatic about it. Nothing world-shattering took place, except I think perhaps I laughed in the right places when I read lines, and that got me the job.
Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis Day, Bob Crosby, and yours truly, Don Wilson. And now, ladies and gentlemen, in presenting the star of our show, it gives me great pleasure to bring you a man who...
Just a minute, Don. Hold it a minute.
What?
Don, today, instead of you introducing me, I'm going to introduce you.
Me?
Yes, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, today not only marks the anniversary of Don Wilson's 30th year in radio, but it also commemorates his 20th year with me. So, Don, take a bow.
Oh, Jack, this is so touching.
Don, this day is yours. Today we will all pay homage to you. When I say we, I mean the entire cast. Your slightest wish will be our command. Whatever you... Don. Don, you're crying.
But, gee, I can't help it, Jack.
See, the way those tears are... running between your chins, it looks like you're irrigating something. Now, Don, please stop sniffling.
Well, I'm all right now, Jack. I just couldn't help getting emotional when I realized that you've been with me for 20 years.
No, Don, you've been with me. With me.
To think that I came on this show when it was down, and because of
down. Down?
And because of my personality and showmanship, I raised it to the pinnacle of success.
Don, wait a minute.
It wasn't easy, and there were many setbacks, but every time the show was down, I brought it up again.
Now, wait a minute, Don. My show was never down. So don't make things up.
Well, now let's not argue, Jack. Really, let's don't argue because, well,
And besides, I want to thank you for making this not only a memorable, but a profitable occasion.
Profitable? What did Jack do for you, Don?
Go ahead, Donzie. Tell Bob Crosby.
Well, Bob, not only did I get $500 cash, but I also got a brand new DeSoto convertible for my wife, a trip to New York for the two of us on the Super Chief, and a whole week at the Waldorf Astoria. Jack, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, gosh, Jack gave you all of that?
No, but it was his letter that got me on Strike It Rich.
You're darn right.
Well, Jack, I guess it won't seem like much now, but... Well, since today is Don's 20th anniversary with you, the boys in the band got something for him, and here it is, Don.
Oh, gee, thanks, Bob.
What is it, Don? What is it?
Well, now, wait, Jack, till I unwrap it.
Okay. Boys in the orchestra, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Jack.
Oh, Jack, look at this. A diamond-studded cigarette lighter.
Well, I'm glad that you like it, Don. My musicians went through a lot of trouble to get it for you.
Well, Bob, that's a beautiful lighter your boys got for Don, but you'd think it would be wrapped a little better. Who did it?
The owner of the store.
The owner of the store? I could have wrapped it better than that.
Not with your hands up over your head.
Bob, you mean the boys held up a jewelry store?
Well, it was an accident, Jack. You see, when they walked into the store, Remley had his guitar under his coat.
Uh-huh.
The man thought it was a machine gun. He threw up his hands and said, "Take anything that you want."
That's still dishonest. Frankie should have opened his coat and showed the jeweler that it wasn't a gun.
Oh, Frankie did better than that. He took out the guitar, started to play, and the guy said, "Look, you got what you want. Stop torturing me."
Well, that I can understand. Anyway, Bob, it was very nice of your boys to bring down that present.
Well, he deserves it, Jack. After all, he took this program when it was down, and he started...
It wasn't down! I'll have to go down to my vault and get the money. But before I go, I want you all to repeat the oath after me. I promise not to reveal that Jack Benny has a secret vault hidden in his home.
I promise not to reveal that Jack Benny has a secret vault hidden in his home.
And if I should tell anyone, either consciously or unconsciously...
And if I should tell anyone, either consciously or unconsciously...
May I lose my umbrella during the rainy season. Now, everybody bow their heads while I... while I go down in the vault. My pants on the barbed wire. Now, I better be careful about those landmines.
Halt! Who goes there? Friend or foe?
Friend.
What's the password?
Greenberg's on third.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Benny.
That's right, Ed. And here's a little present for you.
A present? For me?
Yes, Ed. Last week was Christmas.
Oh. Did you have a nice New Year's?
No, Ed. You see, it isn't New Year's yet. You see, New Year's comes after Christmas, you see?
Oh. Well, I've been away from it so long, I kind of forgot.
Oh, yes. You know, Ed, this year, things are going to be a lot better. They're starting to make automobiles again.
Automobiles?
Yes. Yeah, they're like buggies, you see, with motors in them. You know, you drive them down the street.
Well, won't they frighten the buffalo?
No.
No. You see, buffalo are extinct. There are very few of them around anymore. Well, I got to get into my vault now.
Shall I turn my back?
No, Ed. You're bonded. Now, let's see. The combination is right to 45. Left to 160. Back to 15. Then left to 110. There. Glad the factories are reconverting. Now I'll be able to buy a louder burglar alarm.
Mr. Benny, how much money are you putting in?
I'm not putting anything in, Ed. I'm taking some out.
My, this is thrilling.
Well, so long, Ed. Happy New Year.
Same to you. Whoopee.
I'd like to introduce another talented actor named Joe Kearns. You know him as Ed, the man who guards my underground vault. He's been there for years, and whenever I go down to get money, he always says...
Oh, who goes there? Friend or foe?
Friend.
What's the password?
A penny saved is a...
Oh, it's you, Mr. Benny.
I did not come up with that particular idea.
Writer George Balzer.
On that particular week... Milton Tack had that part of the show, and I think that was tied into one of our radio stations. While Sam and I were doing the second half with the radio station, they were doing the part at home with the packing and the calling around to the different cast members and so forth regarding the upcoming trip. And it was there that they decided that it would be funny if Jack had a vault where he kept his money. And they did a scene where he went down into the vault. And then we found Ed, the guard there, who hadn't been out in 200 years. And that whole routine came about in that show. In fact, I think I mentioned earlier that that first railroad show was one of the shows where we established so many new things.
Oh, the vault was part of that show.
The vault was one of the new things in that railroad station. The vault also became more exaggerated as the years went by.
And the audience was looking for it.
And the audience would just wait. They would know in certain kind of show we were going about. Now this brings up a point about radio and television. Radio made you use your imagination, and you had complete control. When we went to television, we thought, hey, wouldn't it be great, because the vault has become such a part of our radio show, if we did the vault on television. So we did. We built the deepest underground place. We had the cobwebs. We had everything that we could think of down there. And the chains and the metal gate. And we had everything. And we did it on television. And the next day we had people come up to us and say, that's not the vault. We said, what are you talking about? That's not the vault. He says, oh, it was much deeper than that. He says, had many more, their mind, in their own minds, they had built the vault. And there was no way we could build it on television to suit everybody. And we'd bump into someone else, said, that's not the vault. I said, what did you imagine? He says, well, it's got this, and it would be entirely different what the other person had imagined.
Now, what else do I have to do? Oh, yeah, I want to go down to my vault and take out some money.
Take out some money?
Yeah.
Can I watch, Daddy?
No, I'll be right back. Who goes there, friend or foe?
Friend.
What's the password?
Oh, it's you, Mr. Benny.
That's right. How are you, Ed?
Fine. How are things on the outside?
Oh, not so good. There have been thousands of cases of Virus X in Los Angeles.
I've never heard of that before.
Virus X?
No, Los Angeles.
Oh, well, Los Angeles is a city that's been built since you've come down here. Don't you remember, Ed, when I first brought you out here, that little adobe hut down near the plaza?
Yes.
Well, that's now renting for $4,000 a month. Of course, Ed, Los Angeles is a big city now. It's the home of over 3 million men and women.
Men and what?
Women.
Women?
Squaws.
Oh.
Well, I'm leaving town. I need a little money, Ed. I'm going to open the safe now.
Shall I gouge out my eyes?
No, Ed. I trust you. Now, let's see. The combination is right to 45, left to 160, back to 15, then left to 110. There. Give me your hand, Ed. I'll help you up.
It's my own fault. I shouldn't have stood so close to it.
Yeah. Now, let's see. I'll be in Denver a week. There, that ought to be enough money. Well, see you later, Ed. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, say, Mr. Benny.
Yes?
Do you mind if I shave? I'm stepping on it.
Oh, why bother? You'll only have to buy clothes, you know. So long, Ed.